like to make a motion that a permanent change be made, that the chair, what's currently referred to as the chairman, is changed to chair.
Second.
Been made in second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that carries. Thank you.
What was the motion?
To change the, how the chair is referred to in the minutes, from chairman to chair.
Who seconded?
Me.
And it was unanimous. The vote was unanimous. Okay. So now we're back to voting on this. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
And unanimous. Okay, next item is to set the order of the agenda. Is there a motion to set the order of the agenda as printed?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Jan, thank you.
Second.
I second.
Okay, Ron, thanks. It's been moved by Jan, seconded by Ryan, to set the order of the agenda as printed. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Next item of business is the public hearing on variance number R2016-010VAR. Staff report, please.
Yes, this is application R2016-010VAR by Charles Wilkins. The applicant, again, is Charles Wilkins, and the location is 301 23rd Avenue Southwest. That is the site on the picture. The zoning for the property is R1. As you can see, it is adjacent to a PUD zoning, which is a planned unit development to the west, and there is some R2 zoning in the upper east corner there. Otherwise, it's R1 to the north and south, and a little bit on the east. The applicant's request is to allow the building height for a detached accessory building to be 25.5 feet instead of the allowed 15 feet height. The following picture I noticed recently was cut off in your staff report, and so you saw the picture on the left hand side, but you didn't see the full front elevation as shown on the screen. And so the elevation that we're talking about is that front elevation where the garage doors are and the windows above. That measured from the grade to the midpoint of the roof is 25.5 feet, and what's allowed by ordinance is 15 feet in height from the grade to the midpoint of the roof. This is the topography of the site. As you can see, there is some significant grade change from the road to the back property line. The back property line is in the 1085-80 kind of range down at the street. His house is 1040, so there is great change along the property. The location of the shed would be, of the accessory building, is near where I located the word site, but it would be right in this area. This is the applicant's site plan. The proposed detached garage would be 5 feet from the north property line, and it would be 153 feet back in his property from the road. It would be well behind the house. Again, the variance request is for a 10.5 foot variance to allow a front elevation for a detached accessory building of 25.5 feet instead of the allowed 15 feet. Staff recommended findings do not support approval of the variance request. We found that the applicant does not meet 3 of the 6 required criteria for the variance approval. I highlighted those 3 criteria here. If the board should find that inclined to approve the request, I would suggest changing these 3 findings to something that would support the variance approval. But the criteria criteria not met were criteria B, that there are no extraordinary circumstances unique to the property not created by the landowner. The property is large enough to support a detached structure of the same square footage that meets the height and setback requirements. The circumstances are created by the landowner due to the desire to have the proposed layout of the accessory building rather than what is allowed by the land development manual. C, the granting of the variance does not appear to be necessary to overcome practical difficulties and complying with the zoning ordinance to allow for the property to be used in a reasonable manner not permitted by the ordinance. Again, there we felt that the property can be put to a reasonable manner because a detached garage is allowed on the property, just not what they desire. The granting of this is not in harmony with the intent of the purpose of the City of Rochester Land Development Manual. The manual was intended written so that no side of the building exceeded a certain height. The 15-foot height limitation has been in the ordinance for a number of years, for decades. The text amendment to add a limit of 18 feet on other sides was established in 2001. And with that, I will entertain any questions.
Any questions from the staff?
Yes, Ian Lockridge here. Does the R2, it's kind of a little tangential, does the R2 zone classification permit a higher elevation for an auxiliary building?
I could double check. It's in residential districts general, so it would apply in R2 as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We'll now open the public hearing. When you come up to speak, please speak your name and address very slowly and clearly. Our recording system isn't working, and our staff member has to hear what you say so she can record it. Is the applicant or representative here? Do you want to come forward and speak? Say your name and address.
My name is Linda Willingams at 301 23rd Avenue Southwest. Okay. I just wanted to take a few minutes and give you a brief history regarding this property that we're discussing. First of all, this property was one of the original farmsteads in Rochester Township. The farmstead consisted of a three-story farmhouse built in 1929. There was a large vegetable garden and a couple of outbuildings in the back. I'm going to fast forward. Chuck purchased this property in 1990. In 1995, the property was brought into the city. In 1999, we no longer needed the well septic requirement space. The farmstead itself was split into two lots. The third-story farmhouse, or the three-story farmhouse, was sold, and Chuck and I built our new home on the second lot where the vegetable garden is, where the outbuildings were behind. Fast forward again to current. We are now at the point of outgrowing our shed with current garage space. We do not have a three-car garage, we have a two-car garage. We started a discussion about constructing a storage building. Because we were in the township, our lot size is 110 feet and 340 feet going up the hill with a 50-foot incline. So needless to say, we're not like Aspen that's above us. We're not like Foxcroft. We have a large lot. They may mow their lawn in 20 minutes. It takes us 2 hours. To give you an idea of what the inclines that we deal with all the time is our current driveway is 35 feet up to our garage. It inclines 4 feet. Many times I've taken a run to get up our driveway. driveway when we have snow or ice. So this is where our issue begins with variance. We lack flat space. Where we plan to build the storage area would be 153 feet back, as she said. We incline 18 feet by that point. Due to the fact we lack flat space, we will be hauling out a tremendous amount of dirt and the old foundations to make something flat enough for a foundation. Placing the building into the hill with being 150 feet back, we only have one neighbor this is even going to impact or who will even be able to view the building. That name would be Heidi Lewis, who bought the three-story farmhouse. From day one, when we even considered doing this project, we brought Heidi out, we sat down and talked with her, we walked the property with her, so she had a very clear picture of what we were talking about. At that time, she had no issues or concerns, and I was actually quite excited about our project. And because of that, we do have a signed letter from her of her support of the project. And hopefully this just gives you a little insight of what we're dealing with. We don't have a normal lot, like most property in Rochester. Any questions up to this point from my part? Okay, I'll turn it over to my husband and let him take it from there. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm an old teacher.
I brought visual aids.
The hardship Christy did not mention is the help or lack of help we got in doing our plan. You've seen the plans that were drawn up and everything else, and the one thing they didn't show you was their helpful sheet that shows us how to determine what proper elevation is for an outbuilding, a garage. It's a farmstead. I've owned it since 1990. City got us in 95. Nancy Selby threatened to throw me out when we were annexed. Here's our project booklet. You've seen most of the preliminary drawings, and on it we met the intent of the code. On the side elevation, you saw the two points that I marked off of the slope on the side. You saw the midpoint of the roof, and those were within 15 feet. The sheet that they give us when you come in and get an app shows the gable end of the building. I did my drawing at the gable end of the building. The back of my building is going to be almost 10 feet. It's going to be 9 feet 4 inches into the hill to get the flat area. So when Christy showed the flat area where the old building was, the shed, there was a 30 by 40 shed there previously. We went to the north of that a little bit, and our footprint turned the opposite direction to try to take as much advantage of the flat area that was created back in 1929 with the original farmstead. So our proposed plan is for a walkout foundation. It happens to have two garage doors in it, but it is a walkout foundation, exactly the same as all of the foundations that we see above us in the development called Aspen. Some are two stories out the street side. They're three stories out the back side because the hill drops off so rapidly, as you saw from the plot plan. One house up there is a single story on the street, is three stories facing us downhill from there. Now, if you take a look at the illustration they have there, it's a flatland. The rules, as they're established, we tried to follow. We don't have flat land. So again, the visual aid comes in. Street fronts towards you. If you take a regular garage and the gable end, you measure from the grade to the midpoint. That's very simple, right? Now, if you take that same layout and do this way, and your backyard slopes, the zoning certificate says, that's wonderful. You still meet the code, the ordinance, I'm sorry. If you do it this way and your land slopes out, you don't pass. So the whole thing is very flatland biased by measuring only at the front elevation. So again, our hardship is we don't have flat land. So again, our proposal meets the average height standard if you measure at the average slope. So again, to say there is no hardship, moving dirt, taking out old foundations, making this blend in with the environment that was given to us in 1929 as a farmstead in Rochester Township, I believe we've met the test of good looks. Again, it's only been in the city of Rochester for less than 20 years. The building has been there for much longer. So our issue is with zoning, measurement, location is flatland biased by measuring at the front elevation only. I was unaware of the extra phrase that she had there that night in 2001 that they increased it to 18 on the side. If that's the case here, it more than meets it if we move our measurement point at the average slope to the average roof height. Any questions about how I talk about flatland biased? Okay. The measurements, locations, we have a lot that's 345 feet deep. I would challenge any of you to take your neighbor's backyard, add it to your lot, and have the same size. We're 110 feet across. We centered our house on our lot. We cannot add to the side of the garage. So we went back, and we went back far enough that we found some flat land. We have actually taken and harvested some of our forest to accomplish this. And I do say harvest because we manage our yard. We have walnuts, we have elms. We still have elms. City of Rochester lost all theirs. We still got elms if you want to come borrow one. We have basswoods, we have elderberry, we have all sorts of bushes, we have wildlife. This is a whole hill front behind us. Our lot goes uphill. Very few people have that situation, and the flatland bias is raising its ugly head against us. Hopefully the illustrations help you on that. I want to stop there and see if you've got any other questions. I had two postscripts. None said? All right. Another thing that's in the zoning thing is that this driveway has to be paved. What does the city like to see for paving nowadays? Asphalt? Concrete? Grass? Pervious concrete? Pavers? I would like to propose or have you also include in our setting here the use of a pervious grid. That's a drive-on grid. This driveway that we have has been there for 80 years. So again, if you want to see the load ratings of this and everything else, it's available at a number of the big box stores. This gravel driveway has been used for the last 80 years without any detriment. It has been a grass driveway for as many years that I've owned it. I do not want to put asphalt in for 150 feet, 10 to 12 feet wide. I don't want to put concrete in that distance. I don't want to put pavers in that way. I do want to have a pervious surface to control runoff and still have a firm surface to drive on occasionally, and it will be grass in between. So that's one postscript. Second is, application of this rule has just been unfair. It's a bias. I would like our zoning fee, variance fee, waived and returned.
Can you stay up there a
minute? I sure can.
Any questions? Can you address the flatland by this issue?
The 18-foot variation allows for, if your topography drops down in the back, that you could increase the back height of the accessory building on the back side to 18 feet, but the measurements still measure from the front. I can't speak to that. I feel that it's biased. The reason that it's a front elevation is because that's what's viewed from the front of the property line. So rather, whether it's flat or not, is the front view of the structure.
Our back is 9 feet. So again, it's almost a walkout in the back. So again, it's biased to land that slopes back in the backyard. Our slopes up. So again, there's no contingency in their rule for the other way land can slope.
I have another question for you.
Yes.
Is this circumstance unique to your property?
No. No. From 2nd Street all the way, going all the way up the hill to Foxcroft, all of our lots are about the same depth. In fact, if you're familiar with 2nd Street where Jeff Brown did his office building?
Talking about 23rd Avenue.
23rd Avenue and 2nd Street. Jeff Brown did a building that must be 40, 45 feet tall. He did a high-low commercial building three lots away from me. He sculpted into the back of that hill and gouged out the woods, and his retaining wall cannot maintain the ground. Somebody let him do that. It is ugly. The next three lots have exactly the same topography as mine does. The one right next door to Jeff's has got a block building that's elevated 25 feet above their backyard. And it's an older building that's probably put up in the 50s. And it's a concrete block building, probably 20 by 20.
So what is the criteria that the staff says that your variance request doesn't meet is that there are no extraordinary circumstances unique to the property that aren't created by you. And the way I understand you just answered that question is that's true. There aren't any unique circumstances.
We have no flat land. We have no place to put another building without...
But that's true of your neighborhood.
I think it's very unique having a 340-foot deep lot that goes up at about a 30% grade, and the rules are biased against upslope. They'll let you do downslope, but they won't let you do upslope. I've got four neighbors within 10 lots of me, all who have detached garages. So to say that it's unusual in the neighborhood, no. Some are story and a half, some are one story. It's easier to go up cost-wise than it is to go out. One person sees our backyard from her back windows. The impact to the neighborhood, minimal, 150 feet back. Uniqueness in the lot, it has only been in the city of Rochester since 1995. This is a country lot.
Anyone else have
a question? The question is, when I see this two-story building, again, is it possible that you can downsize the height of your building? In other words, I don't know what you're going to store, if it's a...
My intent is a wood shop. Retirement center.
Okay, I understand. So if it was, you would need to set a story for that. In other words, you really set a story, you could actually change your drawing and actually build it so that your height of your building in the front would not actually have to be 25 feet. Granted, going back into the hill, you're digging into the hill, would make up that, but you could actually lower your whole building down.
I can lower the building down and I can have the deer walk up on my roof. I can do exactly what you said. I can do that.
Okay, well, my question is that if it's a, can your roof design, I guess if you say that you're going to walk up there, could your trusses and roof design be such so that they wouldn't, I guess architecturally they could design it. But as I see this, it appears to me you want a two-story building, and if it's
wood shop. I don't know what you're going to do on the second story. It's none of my business. But
that's where the wood shop is going to be. The lower level is going to be for the yard equipment that we use and for our storage of our patio furniture.
I was assuming for the door you want a wood shop, the down was your wood shop is what I was assuming.
Again, we considered it. If you look at the project book, we had a conceptual. Was that sort of what you were thinking of? Okay, what Mr. Tronson is looking at there is a drawing where the roof is done in a specific roof truss, which is called room and attic. And I could do that, and what happens then in a room and attic, that second story then becomes the roof line, and it's measured at half the distance or the average height. To do that, you're getting into the ugly roofs, which are 12-12 pitch, 10-12 pitch, and are wasteful of framing and space. I can go up the street 4 or 5 blocks from us, and there's all sorts of side-by-side homes that were done up there that have got 16-12 pitch roofs. All of the attic space is just wasted. I can turn this into a mansard roof and meet the intent as you're describing, and I can do it by extending out the second floor and using roofing materials instead of siding materials, and it would be fake. The mansard roof actually is a French design and it's good architecture. I have no problem with that. All they did is they take their walls, they slope them in, and they slope them in maybe 6-8 inches so that you can actually get more of your square footage there. A ruined attic takes away 50% of your square footage. I can do that and meet the intent of it. I don't want a mansard roof. I don't want to waste all of that truss space and lumber. I want to have a sustainable building that has usable space. Again, we talk about all of our designs in town here as being aesthetically pleasing. We talk about efficiency. I'm an old architectural student, so you played right into that. I thank you for the question. I'm happy to answer your questions. Any others?
No? Okay. I guess not. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about this variance? Anyone else? Second time? Like to speak about the variance? And last chance, anyone else like to speak about the variance? All right, the public hearing is now closed. Is there a motion?
I would move to deny this request for variance based upon the two factors, in particular that there are no extraordinary circumstances unique to this property not created by the landowner, and it does not appear to be the variance does not appear to be necessary to overcome practical difficulties in complying with the zoning ordinance. This is a 66% increase on the front height restriction that the code has. As I understand, in the discussion, I can talk further about it, but that's the motion.
Is there a second? Okay. Would someone else like to make a motion?
I would make a motion to deny the request, but this motion would be different than what we heard before because I think there are three criteria that have been outlined by staff that are not met here. And those are unique circumstances, practical difficulties, and not in harmony with the intent of the Rochester Land Development Plan manual. So I would move to deny the request to support the findings of B, C, and E.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
No. I got questions. First question is, you may need to help me understand where we might need to go from here tonight, because I think in the discussion from the landowner, I heard items about two other additions for variances. One being depending upon the outcome of what we're talking about here, a refund for the variance fee. And it would be my understanding that that's not something that this council has any purview for. That's outside our responsibilities. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Second, and another postscript talked about the need for a driveway being concrete, asphalt, impervious material, whatever that is, and asking for a request to use the yard saver plastic material as was described to us. Is that something that we can deal with? Is that also outside of our responsibility and what we can do?
I believe what Mr. Melendez shown for his alternative for paving, we could talk amongst planning staff to see if it meets the ordinance. The ordinance states that there's a number of options you can utilize, and one is called Hollywood pavers, and I don't know if this would fall under that kind of idealistic of Hollywood pavers. Hollywood pavers are more with two strips with grass in between, so it's possible that could be likened to those, but it would be something that we'd want to talk amongst planning staff to see if it would meet what's already in the ordinance without proper notice. I don't believe that we probably should act on a variance to allow some alternative to what the ordinance requires for paving for a driveway at this point.
The application is just on the building for tonight, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
To speak on his motion, I guess I can see the three, but the B, when you say there's no extraordinary circumstances unique to the property, not created by the property owner, I have kind of disagreed. I think you make a very good case in the sense that your slope and your land and what you have going on there and how you show it is that that is a unique situation, that the property runs a different direction. And I think that is, to me, that is kind of unique. It appears to me it's a unique areas in Rochester that might apply, you know, but I can agree with the other three that you said, but that one, I believe that you kind of made your case to me that when you start showing that your land goes up and how you do your drawings and bring your thing forward and show us that it, one way it works, the other way it doesn't work. So I guess on that you say to the four, I would say that the three I would agree with, the B that is any circumstances that in the situation.
The reason why we disagree with that assessment is because there are other locations that were noted by the planning department in response to this variance request where the dwelling could be, or the structure could be located on the property. It didn't necessarily have to be at that specific site location. And so that's why the property is not the problem here. It's the desire to put it in that particular location for those circumstances.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, there's a motion on the floor to deny the variance. All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So you do have the option to appeal this to the City Council within a certain amount of days?
10 days of a decision.
10 days.
And who do I make that application to, please?
That's a good question.
So move for that application, please?
No, you'll have to take action to do that independent of this, sir.
Yeah, you have to make an application for it.
Do you have any other papers?
Well, those are the misleading information that I got already. I'm confused enough.
You might want to take those, sir. I guess if you're going to appeal, then there's no sense of copies.
They hand them out every day.
Okay, well, at least you have all your things going.
And like I say, the neighbor was happy.
If you want them as part of this record, you can take them to the clerk. If you want to take them with you, then they'll just be referenced as you spoke about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is variance request R2016-011-BAR by 9 Square Adams Brewery. Staff report, please.
The applicant's request for this variance is to section 63.225 to vary the sign standard C to allow for 543 square feet of proposed wall signage that will exceed the maximum area requirement for wall signs in the CDC fringe zoning district. This is a site plan showing the Riverside building at 400 Broadway Avenue South near downtown and near the Central River. The property is zoned CDC fringe or central development core fringe, which is one of the central downtown zoning districts. These are photos of the building and then elevation drawings that the applicant submitted showing the proposed wall signage and existing wall signage on the building. There are calculations for the existing and proposed wall signage, and all the proposed wall signage is the Winona State University related signage. This is another elevation photo of the building. The zoning ordinance does reference the fact that the signage contained on the awnings or canopies does count towards the total allowed wall signage. So, for example, Lim Lab and Cambria are tenants of the building, and they have a number of awnings that are permitted for that wall signage, and so that does count towards the total. And the office use of the building within the CDC fringe zoning district allows for a total of 350 square feet of wall signage on the entire building. That's not per tenant or per use, but just for the entire building. So what's existing does count towards that 350, and the applicant is proposing an additional 543. This is another photo of the building and some of the proposed wall signage. And again, one thing that I should note is that, for example, in this picture, near the doors of the building, there's a graphic above with the R and then the wavy lines. The ordinance considers that to be a graphic sign because it's painted or etched into the surface of the building. It's not fixed to the surface of a building like an awning or like a sign structure. And so the graphic signage is a different kind of signage that is calculated a different way and does not go towards the total wall signage that's allowed. So the existing amount of wall signage on the building is approximately 290 square feet. That includes the approximately 12 or so awnings. The applicant is proposing 543 square feet of additional wall signage, so that the proposed total wall signage would be approximately 833 square feet. And again, in that zoning district for that use, the wall signage that would be allowed is 350 square feet. The staff recommended findings, as outlined in the staff report, do not support approval of the variance request because the applicant meets only two of the six required criteria for variance approval. Are there any questions?
I have a question, Jenna. Is the W on the windows considered wall signage?
Those in the window, those are the same as the graphic signs, yeah. So those do not count towards the wall signage, but like from this slide where it says Winona and then 63.5, that does count.
I just noticed the 5 square feet above the one of the W's on the window. That's not, okay.
That right. Counts towards their graphic signage, okay. But not their wall signage. Okay.
Any questions for staff?
Just to clarify, I guess what you said is there's 350 square feet on the, is what they're going to have?
Correct. Correct. That's the total allowed wall signage for that building, and they're allowed other types of signage, including
the graphics. I was trying to write down, again, as I was looking through this, you said that the graphics are on the building right now, square footage-wise, existing is...
Existing is approximately 290
square feet. Correct. Yes, they're down.
Yep.
So over 60 square feet left. If that's correct.
That's correct, yes.
And I have a question for staff. Has there been any conversation between the applicant and planning department in connection with any compromise suggestions that planning department had for a less aggressive proposed wall signage?
No, there hasn't been any conversation or discussion about that. However, that could be an option. I believe the different types of signage that are allowed, for example, the graphic signage, if they converted some of their proposed wall signage to a design that fits within the definition of a graphic sign, that then they can still have the same presence of signage, but just a different type that would be permitted under the ordinance.
To be clear, the same presence means what?
Meaning it still looks similar, like for example...
I mean like square footage-wise, it could be near the 800 square footage?
Correct. Well, like on this diagram that the applicant submitted, the large purple logo, that's indicated to be a wall sign that would be, I assume, illuminated or lit somehow. But if they painted that on the side of the building, that would be considered a graphic sign and would not count towards the total wall signage.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the staff? Hearing none. Is the applicant or representative here and would like he or she like to speak?
Yes.
So I'm opening the public hearing.
Good evening.
I'm not sure that you're here when I ask people to speak very clearly and slowly with their name and address because we
sure.
Don't have a recording device working.
Adam Ferrari, 518 7th Avenue Southwest. And I'm representing 9 Square, which would be the applicant. And I'm quickly going to turn it over to the Winona State representative. Just everything that I said was already in the documents prepared. The two-page narrative that accompanied this graphic. And I can agree that there was no conversation or correspondence between planning staff suggested alternatives. It was just submit what you want to do and then go forward from there. So that's correct.
I have a question now.
Yes.
Was there any discussion with the owner of the building about removing some signage from the other tenants?
No. The only conversation was about whether or not other signage should be considered in this variance request, and we decided to leave this sort of as a standalone for this particular tenant, which is taking over the entire third floor, and then any future discussions would be future discussions. So existing signage is going to remain, and this is going to be treated as standalone.
Anyone else have any questions?
Yeah, you understand the signage and the graphics and wall signage issue was...
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Winona's renting the whole top floor?
Correct.
So they're renting half the building and only they get 60 square feet for signage, and three businesses rent the bottom and they take up the rest of that, 290, 200.
In the letter of the ordinance, that's exactly correct. It doesn't matter how much you own of the building or how much you're renting. It's
right, I understand that. What I'm saying is there appears that you would know that coming before, you know, before this. That, I guess that that's quite a bit of science for one floor, the top floor has not.
Did you have a question for me?
Well, that's, I guess, my question. Would they, I guess, coming forward, I see all this, there's not any sign that in your, it's on here that even comes close to the 60 square feet that you have left, that you could possibly use. There's not one sign of the one on the south side or the north side, or even on the big elevator shaft or whatever that meets the 60 square feet.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, please. Again, slowly and clearly. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Scott Olson. I'm the president of Winona State University. Thanks for listening to us today. The reason we're...
I'm sorry, could you give us your address as well? Your address? Your address?
Like my home address or my address in... Okay, sure. I live at 1389 Brookview Drive, Winona, Minnesota.
Okay. Didn't you see? Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, sure. One of the reasons why we're very interested in signage here, and even in being in downtown Rochester, we've gotten a lot of encouragement from the elders of Rochester, from Grauk, from the mayor's office, from others, for Winona State to have a bigger presence here. As Rochester grows, as the county grows, you have a need for much more higher ed. You may not know this, but we're actually the second largest institution of higher ed in Rochester, second largest, after RCTC. So RCTC is number one, we're number two. We have about 1,000 students here in Rochester, and we are very bullish on Rochester. We want to grow in Rochester. We want to invest in Rochester. That's why we want to go there. One of the problems we've had, though, we've been here 100 years, and we're still a little bit invisible in Rochester. Lots of folks, we kind of disappear into that UCR, RCTC site. Folks don't really know we're there unless they're taking classes from us. So this was an attempt to kind of express our commitment to Rochester, our love of Rochester, our desire to be here and grow. In response to an earlier comment, I think we would be quite interested in working with the staff to find compromise solutions, but as perhaps Mr. Thronson was suggesting, the 60 square feet that would maybe be available is kind of pretty limiting on us having the sort of presence that UMR or RCTC enjoy. So we'd love to work with you to try to find a solution to that. I'm not really great at speaking to the six criteria and whether we meet or don't meet them, so I can't really be very good at answering questions about the specifics of that. But that's our general intent here. We're here regardless, but we would sure love for the community to kind of know we're there.
Just so you know, we're charged with making our decisions based on those six criteria.
Understood. Okay. I just thought I'd kind of express our desire and express our willingness to, find compromise, to work with staff to find something that would be acceptable.
I agree. You're pretty invisible.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Big, but invisible.
Any questions?
It's not really a question, it's more an observation. This particular building has so many exposed sides to it that it really is an example of something that was not anticipated by the signing requirements that are included within the ordinance. As our chair had mentioned, we're limited, that is, we're restricted to only be looking at what those criteria are that we're bound by to make our evaluations. As we mentioned before, there is an appeal process in the event that this is denied or if there's some suggestion on that for a body that can make other decisions, but not necessarily limited to the ordinance, and that would be to the council. And that observation is just something that I think every applicant should be aware of.
Thanks, Mr. Lockridge, for that comment, and you're right. This is a unique building because you can see it for a great distance from any of its four sides. So you're right about that. And we recognize your need to follow the code that's been written.
Any other questions?
As you do this, just to make your signage unique, because it is a unique building because it plays at three different sides of you've got Broadway and then coming in on Broadway, you see it, and then you got the face of it, and then on 4th Street. Sometimes, it's just my thought process that sometimes electronic sign is smaller. It's more, you can get your logo, you can get your thing across in a smaller thing than when it's spread out this long that you can actually do things graphically square footage wise in the front of it. So that's just, I don't know if that's a convicted or unreliable stuff, because it appears to me, as I see it, they talk about graphics, when you take a look at these windows, you can put your graphics in the windows, and that doesn't count, but yet they would still be able to see your logo and recognize them on the street. So it sometimes doesn't have to be spread out the whole length of the building. You can do it smaller and do it in such a way that it is noticeable.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Other folks on the team might be better able to speak to the six criteria, so others may want to come. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this variance? Yes.
Good evening. My name is Jane Foote. I'm a homeowner at 619 3rd Street Southwest. I moved to Rochester about 3 years ago. I'm also a Winona State University faculty person. And I just wanted to speak to, as a neighborhood association member, I live in a house built in 1890. I appreciate the historic nature of that building. I think it's a beautiful building. And what I like about how Winona's designed this is it seems very much within the nature of that building. It's not neon, it's not tucked in a window, it sort of incorporates well into the brick. And so I think it's aesthetically pleasing when I look at all four sides. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this hearing?
Hi, Robert Beeman, 220 South Broadway, Unit 1507, Rochester, Minnesota. Representing the building owners this evening, just want to speak to a couple items. One is, currently our signage is just canopy signage. We don't have any other real signage on the building besides the canopy. And the one thing that stands out is, if it were on glass, it would be considered different related to the way that it's calculated, and it's on a canopy. The other thing I'd point out is tenants like Winona State are what is keeping wonderful historic buildings like this. We're not on the historic register, but they are keeping buildings like this in downtown. We're in support of that. And one way to continually allow for them to be here in downtown is allowing them to be successful, and signage is one way that we can help them in doing so. And previously, when the building, if you look at past historic photos, there was much more obnoxious signage, even beyond this. At the peak of the building, they had it on the corner of 4th Street and Broadway. There's some renderings inside the building. You can see there was extreme signage. So as we talk about the future of this building and signage, we're definitely not going over what they've done in the past. So we feel that it's in relation to what fits the building, fits downtown, and will help this building and these tenants succeed long term. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the ordinance, to the variance? Sorry. Anyone else like to speak about the variance?
Hello, my name is Jean Gagnus, and my address is 515 First Avenue Southwest, Apartment 410 here in Rochester. And I'm the Associate Vice President for the Rochester campus. And clearly 60 square feet is inadequate. And so if we were looking at a compromise solution, and it would be about half of that amount, and it, we could do some sides that were actually graphic, as was suggested, but 60 square feet is just not an adequate amount for this property. And it's not, if you look at the way the signage looks, it doesn't look overwhelming on the building. It is one of those situations that when it was being designed, we actually read the information differently than it's being interpreted by staff, that the canopies were indeed graphic and not considered as part of the signage. So that's actually the different interpretation that we had. So we were not trying to be crazy outside of the numbers here. We actually thought it was a reasonable approach, but then when this came back, we thought, well, what's the other way we could do this is have two sides of the building with graphic and two sides with lit. So if that's an option for you as you consider, I would appreciate you at least thinking about some of those options to be a compromise. Thank you. Do you have questions for me?
I have a question for Pat. If they wanted to go back and, since they didn't understand that, redo this request, how would we process that? Sorry, Jeff, I didn't hear you.
You can do it right now. Okay. You can approve what you want to approve, whatever conditions you think are necessary.
But they're going to have supporting findings.
Right.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak about the variance?
I would add that approval of the variance runs with the property, and so if at any point in the future Winona State was no longer the tenant, a future tenant would also be allowed to have as much signage as would be permitted by approving this variance.
Thank you for reminding us of that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah, just a quick question. Because of, I said, again, it's a unique building, three different sides. I take a look at the roof line, I take a look at your wall vault. And if I know signage-wise, if that W could be up on the roof and be more noticeable, that because it's a three-sided building that you could stick out, you would be less signage-wise, but yet your logo is what people are going to look for, that W in the flame. So as I look at this building, you've got three different sides. Again, as I look at it, and I don't know staff what they allow on the roof or anything else, how that would work, but it's just one of those things that you could actually have that logo up and actually still see it from different sides of the streets and still get your message apart and stay down on your square footage wise. So that's just a thought as I look at this building and the direction of what you're trying to portray, is that you would be able to see that from three different sides from a roof line. So that's just mine. Yeah, I don't know if that would be considered.
Can I speak?
Adam Ferrari again. That's an option. It doesn't actually help us. The 60 square feet remaining, any sign, any principal facade would be exceeding that amount. So we looked at a number of different ways. There was no way to achieve a signage that would stay under the 350 square feet requirement. The bit about the interpretation of the existing signage, notwithstanding, you know, we sort of said we can't control that part of it. Each facade of the building was sort of treated independently, going at it with wall signage as the most restrictive type, and this being, you know, the way to achieve the Winona State's goals, understanding that they want to have presence on all four sides, knowing that we were never going to really do anything that could meet 60 square feet.
The reason I said that is because I'm just trying to help all what was just said. Ask, can we change it? Can you change it now? Can you do things? I'm trying to just think outside the box that if we were to say, okay, we might approve it on this reason, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to put back out that you're all the signs here, you could actually do more with less and actually maybe get it through.
We can't. We evaluated that and we couldn't do something that met less than 60 or 350 total.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying here is that as Chair asked, is there a way to rectify this? And as the city staff member said, that we could actually do this, we could approve it anything we want as long as we can approve to do that. The problem is if we continue with this huge amount of square footage, then what happens is the next tenant that moves in has that square footage amount. So I was just trying to say, how do you work with somebody to have something work out? Maybe even go above a little bit above the 60 or go what's there, and how do you get it into a smaller number than what you've got here on your plate? That's where I was headed.
Understood.
When I was asking that instead of 800 square feet, how can we bring that down and justify in order to have the science do what they want to do? So that was my only
Understood.
Question to staff. Could there be something on a rooftop thing considered? Is that feasible to do that? And that I'm just putting that out, thinking outside the box.
Yes.
Good evening, James Kelly, 205 Conway Court, Southeast Rochester, Minnesota. I'm the Director of Construction and Planning for Winona State University. Thank you for looking at this tonight. I think definitely there is a compromise that we could do looking at the numbers. The building is unique because it is four sides, and I think the way the ordinance is typically written, if that was just a one-sided building, would it still be 350 square feet?
That's correct.
So we have four sides to do, and we only have 350 square feet. So that building, if it was 20 feet wide, you still have the same amount of square footage. So it is definitely unique, and the way we interpreted the code, the canopies, we didn't foresee that. We saw that as a graphic. It could be different. Looking at the amount of signage in the square footage, you know, I think honestly around the 200 to 220 square feet, we could do that as a signage, and then the rest of it we do as a graphic, whether it's a rooftop or a thing. Like the W there, you know, we definitely could make that smaller as a painted graphic. It's still a sign, whether it's painted on or it's backlit, it's still a sign, even though it now doesn't count. So it's a little gray in the code there. But definitely the building is unique, and we do want to stand out, as President Olson said, and kind of make a voice. And we've been 100 years, but everyone doesn't really know we exist here. They have a great program, and this is a great, if you have not been up to the space, we'll have a grand opening at some point. We kept the historical nature of that floor there. We took up the entire third floor. Turned out beautiful. So I think everyone else addressed, Adam addressed a couple questions I was going to bring up too. So thank
you. Any questions? All right, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the variance request? Anyone else like to? Yeah.
Just for clarification.
Yes.
There are other sign options available on this property that the ordinance allows. We have primary sign types of freestanding sign, projecting sign, wall signs, graphic signs, and roof signs in that zoning district at that location. Each of them has a limitation on the total number of square feet. The wall signage is the one that you're interested in tonight in this variance. They've asked to exceed that 350 square feet of wall sign. Other sign types that they have not proposed, there are, again, limits on how many square feet of those types of signs they can have, but those are not party to this variance. They could come in tomorrow and take out legitimate zoning certificates and sign permits for those permitted signs. The only thing that you're looking at is the request to exceed the 350 square feet of wall signage. So the suggestion of them looking at a roof sign is a possibility. They have 150 square feet of roof signage allowed for a building this size. They could have, and the graphics signs are based on the percentage of the wall coverage. So there are other options. They just didn't have to address those. We had to address the issue of the wall signage size. And so that's fine.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Last call. Anyone else like to speak about the variance request? All right. Close the public hearing. Do I have a motion?
I move to support the staff findings and to deny this request based on the criteria A, B, C, and E.
Do I second?
I second.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, my discussion really centers around the fact that I recognize that these criteria are not met by this particular application. However, I really think that this situation requires some special attention by a body that is capable of dealing with it. This body is not capable of dealing with it, and therefore I would have to support the motion. A body that could deal with it with the city council, and that is one avenue. There are other options that have been expressed during the course of this hearing that may be available to get to the same end result with a different application of signage. And I just wanted to express gratitude for the applicant's clients for coming forward with this and making a presence in Rochester.
Thank you.
I would do that. I think it's important that we continue to grow here in Rochester and support that, and I would agree that we are very limited here at what we can do. And I think it's important that what happens here, that you need to take it this next step further to the council that has a lot, much more say and much more diverse area that they can do to move things forward, because our hands are kind of tied to what we can improve and what we can.
But you can also look at other signage options if this motion is denied.
Yes.
Or if this request is denied.
I think that's a...
Yeah.
That's
you
a,
don't have to take...
I don't have to go to the point, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
And I appreciate staff outlining that there are other options that consider that seem available to work with Winona State to make something happy that will be suitable for everybody. So I appreciate the fact that staff was here tonight, was able to, in fact, relay some of the options that might be available to make this all happen. So thank you for that. That's all I got, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, hearing the call to question, all those in favor of the motion to deny the variance, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. All right, thank you. I hope you get it figured out. My daughter got her bachelor's and her master's, and my son-in-law got his bachelor's from the school, so my grandson doesn't ever see any signs for another day. Motion to adjourn. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Any other business? All right. Motion to adjourn?
No motion.
Wait a second.
I second it.
All right.
Who second?
John.
Sorry.